Hello, this is Bixby. Welcome to the Bixby Developers Chat Podcast. Here is your host, Roger Kibbe.
Hello, Bixby Developer Chat listeners. This is your host, Roger Kibbe. And earlier this month, the Bixby developer team was at the Project Voice Conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Well, at the conference, I had the pleasure of interviewing 33 different voice developers, designers, podcasters, and all-around voice gurus. In this episode, we're going to hear from 8 more people I interviewed. Tomorrow, we'll release the last set of interviews from the Project Voice Conference. In this episode, I had the pleasure of talking to Armel Boudry of Treble FM, the Shortcast platform, Mark Tucker, who's very well known in voice and is creating the speech markdown library to make SSML easier to use, Daniel Hill, who teaches businesses how to be successful with Instagram, Braden Ream, the CEO of VoiceFlow, the tool that makes it incredibly easy to build a voice experience, Adva Levin of Pretzel Labs, and the author of many voice experiences for children, Scott Westwater, who along with his wife, Susan Westwater, run the voice consulting agency Pragmatic Digital, and have just released a new book, Kane Sims of VUX World Fame, and Carrie Roberts, who is the host of the Inside Voice podcast and does marketing for Voice Summit. Without further ado, let's go to the floor of the Project Voice Conference. Okay, I'm back with Armel Boudry of Treble FM. Armel, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Armel Boudry. I'm CEO and founder of Treble. And what we do is that we help people stay informed on the topics that matter to them the most in a short amount of time every day by allowing them to consume content in a new format that we call shortcasts.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit, what is a shortcast for listeners who don't know?
Yeah, so a shortcast, the way we describe it, is a short audio recording that's created with the purpose of succinctly inform the listener. So if you think about when you're on the radio, for example, a good example of a shortcast would be when you're on the radio, you have like this, usually like minute and hour, that give you the news, that's a shortcast, right? So the people that you have ever used other podcast, sometimes you have those podcast episodes that are usually 1 to 2 hours. That's a shortcast. So shortcast is really, like I said earlier, a short piece of audio content which is meant to inform the listener so in a really short amount of time. So with Treble, we'll help you create a feed of shortcasts made of people that you judge are best suited to inform you on topic that matters to you. Yeah, we do that. We have a mobile that you can use on Android and iOS. And we also have a capsule on Samsung Bixby that we can use as well if you have an Android Samsung phone.
Perfect. Thanks, Armel. I recommend this. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of great shortcasts on your platform. I'm a big fan. So we are at Project Voice. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing that's interesting or exciting for you at Project Voice?
I think what I'm happy to see that the community is getting bigger. So I was here last year. There was a little bit less people. Today I can see there's a lot more people from really different backgrounds. I think it's really refreshing to see people from different industries coming together to learn about voice. Just yesterday I met someone from Melbourne. She's a lawyer in digital media or something like that. And she flew all the way from Melbourne to come here at the conference to learn about voice because she was excited about voice. And she's actually doing her PhD. And so she came all the way just for the conference. And I think what has impressed me the most, like I said, is just how the community is getting bigger, more diverse, and more different voices, more people coming in. And it really signals you that something is happening. Right. Other than that, I think, happy to see all the big brands here showing what they're working on. Companies small and big as well. I think it's just good to kind of see a community growing in general.
Yeah, I'm with you on the kind of global presence here at the conference. There's been people from all over the world here, and that's really awesome to see. That shows the industry is
is moving beyond just a few countries and really resonating across many countries. And I think that's really amazing. So, Armel, I know you've been in this industry for a bit. Where would you like to see voice going in the next 6 months, year, 5 years? You choose your time frame.
I think what I would like to see in the next year, I might be biased here, maybe in the next 2 years, is I would like to see more assistants really focusing on giving a bigger opportunity to third-party developers, which is, I think, something that Bixby is doing very well. But I would like to see that push, a bigger push in that, and really kind of not because I see, and I'm not going to give any names here, but I see some assistants maybe focusing too much on building things themselves, which I'm not sure is the best way to do things. So I would love to see, and I think we'll see it happen. I would love to see in the next year or two seeing more push and having third party developers powering voice experiences. And a lot of people talk about discovery and a bunch of things like that, but I would love to see more effort also from the system manufacturer, I'll put it this way, really trying to figure out a way to really integrate the system and the capabilities of third parties. That's one thing I would love to see. The other thing, if I had to kind of look further in the future here, I think it would be great to just have the assistant in more places, in more places, in different configurations, in the bathroom or in other different contexts where you wouldn't expect it to be. I think it would be good to kind of start also exploring, but that's more in a longer term. Just voice everywhere would be great. But I think in the near future, what I would love to see personally, like I said, is just seeing more push on the blockchain assistant, figuring out the best way to integrate with the third party capabilities.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, I'm with you on both visions. I particularly, that long-term vision of more kind of an ambient computing future, where I just walk into my home or walk into my office and I talk and I get something done and I don't worry about what device is listening to me. It just happens. I think this is a super big unlock for just, frankly, technology working better for all of us as humans, right? And working better and more efficiently. So, Armel, if people want to keep in contact with you or Treble FM, what's the best way to do so?
Well, the best way is on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, on Armel Bovi. That's for me personally. If you want to follow, if you want to keep up with Treble, I'll tell you the first thing you probably want to do is just download our app. It's available on Android and iOS. So I just had a talk here this morning about information overload. Because that's something, this is one of the things that I didn't talk about earlier, but this is really one of the things that we're really trying to tackle with Treble and Shortcast, is to help people is to reduce information overload that people are experiencing today. So I strongly suggest people to try the app, Android and iOS, but also try our Samsung capsules that's available now. And you can follow us on Twitter at Treble FM.
Yeah, I'd echo that completely. Is go try it out, download the app, enable the voice experience, however is the best way to do. It really is a great answer to your right to information overload. Short snippets of quick information get you what you want and what you need quickly and easily. Armel, as always, I love talking to you.
Pleasure.
A pleasure. Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, I'm back and I'm with Mark Tucker. Mark, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Mark Tucker. I'm a software developer and been doing voice for the last 4 years, and I'm a Bixby Premier developer.
Awesome, Mark. I know that you have done so many things in voice, and you got something going on around SSML. You want to tell me about your SSML project?
Sure. So in the web world, you have text, and then you have formatted text. And the way that you would typically do that would be with HTML, but you could also do it in something called Markdown. Well, there's a similar concept in the voice world where you have just the text-to-speech that your device will speak. But with SSML, you can format that speech to give emphasis in some location, put pauses where appropriate for dramatic effect or slow speech down. There's lots of different things that you can do with it. But a simpler way to do that is with something that I created called Speech Markdown. It's an open source project, so you can check it out at speechmarkdown.org.
I love it. and we're going to be enhancing Bixby, and we'll be talking about bringing it to Bixby soon. But it's really, if I think if you're a voice developer and you use an SSML extensively, it's kind of a no-brainer to use Speech Markdown. So good job. Thank you for contributing to the industry and making it easier for all of us developers to build compelling voice experiences.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think as things progress in the near future and in the next few years, that you'll see more and more, not only developers and designers writing the speech formatting that you need to make expressive conversations, but also content authors. So think about the bloggers on the web. There's going to be lots of ways to create voice experiences. It may not be somebody that has any technical skills at all, but they're in charge of what the conversation and the content's going to be, and they'll be able to use Speech Markdown.
Yeah, I'm into that. You know, I really feel like I've always said content is king with voice, and very much any tooling that we can get to make it easy for the creatives to come in and build amazing experiences is a win for the whole industry.
Totally agree.
So we're at Project Voice. What have you seen that's been interesting or exciting here at Project Voice?
Oh, well, one of the things I'm really excited about is just meeting people that I've met online. Some are old friends and some are new friends that I'm just making now. So voice community, I love the voice community and I really appreciate that opportunity. But like one interesting presentation I attended yesterday was on interactive music. So how do you kind of like different levels of how you can include music into your voice experience, whether it would just be to kind of on one end accent certain parts of it or be actually immersive, or where you can build music or add in a specific drum set or a specific bass line and then mix it together and have interactive music. So I really enjoyed that presentation yesterday.
That's great. You know, when I hear about things, it reminds me of how much road ahead there is for the industry and creativity and amazing things we can do. And that's great. So Mark, let's talk about the future. 6 months, a year, 5 years from now, where whatever time frame you're comfortable with, where would you like to see voice go?
Well, one of the things that I talked about on a recent voice bot predictions of 2020 was what do you see? And one of the things that I brought out was discoverability. And I think that, I guess more out of necessity, that there really needs to be some space happening over this year and the next few years to do something different or attack the challenges of how do you discover your voice experience among a pool of competing or even just a big pool of non-competing voice experiences. So I think that's something that we need to focus on and figure out new and creative ways of solving the discoverability problem.
I think every voice developer would completely agree with you, or pretty much everyone involved with voice would agree that that's a challenge, and we got to overcome that to really grow the industry and make it move forward. So Mark, if people want to keep in contact with you and understand more about Speech Markdown, what's the best way to follow and keep in touch with you?
So I'm on social media quite a bit, mostly Twitter and LinkedIn. So you can contact me on Twitter at Mark Tucker.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Mark. As always, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right, I'm back. I'm with Daniel Hill. Daniel, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Daniel Hill. You can listen to my daily flash briefing, the Instagram stories on Amazon Alexa. I teach small business owners how to use Instagram in 3 minutes or less per day. That's what I do.
Awesome. Can you give us a little bit of hints about, tell me a little bit more about what you teach them?
Sure. So I teach people the features and things that they don't know about the app. It's a very complicated app. Like if you just start using Instagram, it does all these things. What are stories? What's the point? Why would I use stories? And when would I go live? And what's the difference between that and my regular feed? And all those things I cover in small bite-sized pieces. So people don't have to sit down and watch, a 12-hour course or digest all this information. I'm just giving tiny little chunks. And every time Instagram adds a new feature or changes things, I talk about it in depth so you understand how it relates, how you can use it to grow your audience. And if you don't have an audience, you're starting from zero, no problem. I'll work with you and explain what it takes to get to that first 100, then how to get to that 1,000 level, and so on.
Great. Wow, I can see how business owners really, really need that, and understanding, getting savvy about social media is so critical to running a business today, right? And those who are able to leverage it effectively really help themselves. So great. I love that.
That's the thing with Instagram. You can kind of show the professional that you want, you know, as, mm-hmm. as a business owner, your storefront, what things are like every day. But you can also show the behind the scenes using stories. It'd be like a camera crew just showed up and started making a documentary about all this. You know, that might not happen, but you can make your own, right, using Instagram.
Sure.
And so people can watch, and your fans, your customers, whatever, your clients, they become super clients because now, you know, I didn't realize that you did this, or now I see the process that goes into that. You're not charging it, you know, and that's really where the magic happens.
So, Daniel, we're at Project Voice. What have you seen at Project Voice that gets you interested or excited?
That is a really great question. So I think there's a lot of chance for people who are making voice skills and people who are just starting in this environment to learn a lot about it and get ramped up really, really quickly. This is a really new thing in a lot of respects. Like, we're in the weeds, so we think, oh yeah, you know, it's taking so long to get to where we want. But for people who are just getting involved in this industry, now's the time to get in to kind of the ground floor. Like, it's like Twitter 2007. Like, you know, you're one of the first people doing this, which is really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like the analogy of Twitter 2007. I've said mobile 2009. Yeah. It's really early, and it's a great time to get in and experiment and figure out how to interact with their customers. How do they want to interact with you via voice? Mm. And, you know, go try and experiment with things. So, speaking about voice and speaking about the future, say in the next 6 months, year, 5 years, you choose the time frame, where would you like to see voice go?
That is a great question. So I would very much like a good mechanism for people with older cars like myself to have access to all the voice things that we need despite having an older car. I've seen with new cars, and you know, you have the voice assistant built in, and that's great. But you're going to have a car payment. Now your insurance is going to go up. What if you still have a car that works fine? You should still get access to all those tools. So that's something I'm really, really interested in, is some kind of completely hands-free, built into the car, whatever mechanism it is, Bluetooth or some or otherwise, that gives you the access to everything you have from your device or at home. Normally.
I love that. That's really pragmatic around how many of us have cars. It's only cars sold in the last year or two, I'd say, that have any real voice features there. And so you have a car that's even 3 or 4 years old, it's missing. And beyond that, obviously, very little. I love the idea of some very pragmatic kind of add-on kit that kind of modernizes it where your car is still running and working extremely well.
Yeah.
Love that. That's a great idea.
I've been using that Amazon Echo Auto. It's not a perfect solution by any means, but I will say that I touch my phone 75% less while I'm driving, because when I'm bored, traffic's a little, you know, building up, I'm going slow, whatever, I'll reach for my phone. But with that, it's a conversation, right? And so to give people that same level of access to whatever environment they're, whatever ecosystem they're part of, completely hands-free in that environment, I think is huge.
That's awesome. So Daniel, if people want to learn more about you, follow you on Instagram, what's the best way to do so?
So you can find my show, The Instagram Stories, when you go to Amazon.com. And once I finish working with John, you can find me on Bixby. And you can also find me on Instagram at Daniel Hill Media. That's the best way.
Thanks so much, Daniel. A pleasure.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks. Okay, I'm back, and I'm with Braden Rehm of VoiceFlow. Braden, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So again, Braden Rehm of VoiceFlow, CEO of the company. What VoiceFlow does, we make it easy to design, prototype, and build voice apps without coding.
Tell me a little bit more about VoiceFlow. If I'm interested in voice and just getting started, why would I choose VoiceFlow, or what's the opportunity there?
Sure. So when you look at sort of teams building voice apps, there's typically two sides, right? You're going to have your designer, your creative side, and then you're going to have your developer side.
Okay.
A lot of the big companies, they're focusing on developer. And so we saw a need for, well, let's focus on the folks who might not be able to code, right? They're a great storyteller, but you know, they never picked up Python at an early age. And so we give them a platform to be able to engage with great voice assistants, to actually be able to build these apps without having to necessarily need the code.
I really love that, because to my mind, in voice, content is king.
Yep.
And enabling I'll call it the creatives to go and get into voice is really how this industry is going to grow moving forward.
Yeah.
And tools like yourselves really kind of unlock that and let us, what I've seen, anyone go and create a simple voice app and yet not be so hindered.
Yeah.
I played with it a little bit and I was like, wow, this is a starting point, but you also could get pretty sophisticated in there. And so really good job at building a balance of absolute beginner to you could build a pretty sophisticated voice application. Yeah. Love what you've been doing.
What's really cool about what we're trying to do is for the individual, they're building without coding, and that's fine. That's sort of our core functionality. But now we're moving into more teams and some of these enterprises where now there's a developer and a designer and maybe a PM, right? And so now the problem we're solving for them is a workflow problem, right? How do you pass assets between different stakeholders? How do you get the copy just right? How do you be able to communicate amongst everyone, get stakeholder buy-in to build a great voice experience? That's sort of the new problem we've been solving. We've been releasing features like commenting and real-time collaboration to really enable that team workflow.
That's great. Yeah, the designer to developer communication workflow. I mean, they always communicate with the same language, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, we all know they don't. And what's great about tools like that is it lets the designer then start building something and show it, and then the developer can take it and add the polish or whatever is it needed on there. So I love those tools like that. So we're at Project Voice. Braden, what have you seen that's got you excited or interested here?
I think it's always the number of companies. Every conference we go to, you see new companies that have sprung up with brand new solutions, things, sort of angles you hadn't seen before. I think there's been some really exciting stuff, especially in the auto space. So, for example, we're actually right in front of us is Mercedes-Benz. I got a demo with them and their new voice assistant. I know SoundHound is here, and you see the rise of some of these independent voice assistants too. You've seen Bixby's presence increase dramatically from over the past year and a bit. So yeah, it's just really exciting to see the number of new companies that are entering the space, and Voiceful's goal is to be able to work with everyone so that we can have just make it more of a level playing field for folks who want to get into voice.
That's great. And what would you, Braden, you're deep into the industry and you've seen what's working and what the challenges. Where would you like to see voice go over the next, I'd say, 6 months, year, 5 year? You choose the timeline.
Yeah.
But what's the future of voice and where should it go?
I mean, there's the ideal world and there's the realist in me. I think the realist in me goes, if we can solve discovery as an industry on some of these assistant platforms, that would change everything. A lot of folks focus on monetization and retention and engagement, but I think if developers had just a large influx of users in the first place, you're then going to see them start to invest more in better monetization experiences, better voice experiences in general. I actually don't think there's as much of a quality problem as it is a discovery problem. And so I think having the platforms really think about how can we drive more users, both implicitly and explicitly, to these experiences will really make the ecosystem a lot healthier, and you'll start to see larger and larger investments in the space. So that's where I think it should go on a realistic basis. Long-term vision, though, we're talking like 5 years. I would love if there was a standard voice app protocol that all the assistants could access, and assistants reviewed like browsers instead of having silos. That would be amazing, but that's a bit of a pipe dream right now.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. 5 years is a heck of a long time in the tech industry. So, Mitch, talking about discovery, Braden, I think that's such a common refrain around that, and I think that's a huge unlock. And if we're going to move forward as an industry, we all need to figure that out. Because people build these amazing experiences, and yet if no one finds them, there's no users of it. And so that's a challenge that the whole industry needs to figure out. So whatever you guys can do in tooling and things like that would be amazing to see. But Braden, so if people want to keep in contact with you and or Voiceflow, what's the best way to do so?
Twitter, we're all over there, so you can find us. I'm at Ream Braden, so R-E-A-M-B-R-A-D-E-N
okay.
On Twitter. You can also find us at Voiceflow HQ on Twitter, and then we have a large Facebook community of over 5,400 Voiceflow users on Facebook, and that's just Voiceflow community. It's a big Facebook group.
All right. Well, pleasure talking to you and meeting you, Braden.
Yeah.
We'll be talking again soon. Thanks. Okay, I'm back. I'm with Adva Levin. Adva, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Adva. I am the founder of Petalabs, a studio that creates voice experiences for kids, such as Kids Court, Freeze Dancers, Out the Door, and a bunch of other ones.
Great. Why don't you describe one of your voice experiences, what it does?
Sure. So Kids Court, for example, is an Alexa-based judge that settles kids' fights. So kids' parents would come in and they will meet Judge Lexi, who is an AI persona that will kind of walk them through a trial, ask for evidence, witnesses, things like that, and finally get a verdict of who is guilty and what they need to do.
Perfect. It's funny. I really like that skill, and my kids are a little bit too old when it was first released to use it, but I got entertainment value out of it. I could see how it makes it fun. to kind of resolve those inevitable conflicts. And I have two teen daughters now, and they have conflicts, but they need the teen version. So we're at Project Voice. What have you seen that's been interesting or exciting to you?
It's great to meet the entire community again. And I've attended some really interesting sessions, mostly about education, marketing. There were some great teachers doing a lot of stuff with Voice in the classroom, which is something we're interested in, and we do at Pestle Labs as well.
That's great. Yeah, voice in education has definitely been a theme of this. I know some of the talks, but also there's several people here are involved in that, and I find that really fascinating. And that's a great, bright future and voice for that. So speaking of voice in the future, where would you like to see the industry go in 6 months, a year, 5 years? You choose the time frame.
So I would say I'm hoping, both as a user and as a creator, for some more personalization options. The way I see it right now, if you asked for a song and I asked for a song, we would get the same song. But maybe you played it 20 times before, one version. You want the version you like, and I want mine. So I'm hoping the platforms will be more tailored to specific users.
That makes a lot of sense, and especially with voice, that's so critical because there's not this complex UI there to go choose among 10 options. You want that one option that's best for the user to go do that. Okay, well, if people are interested in keeping in contact with you and your company, Pretzel Labs, what's the best way to do so?
Our website is at pretzellabs.co, and you can follow me on Twitter under Pretzel Voice. I tweet a lot of voice stuff.
Thanks so much, Adva. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right, I'm back, and I'm with Scott Westwater. Scott, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name's Scott Westwater. I'm the CCO of Pragmatic Digital. And we're a digital consultancy that helps clients understand what voice is and actually create useful and usable experiences for their audiences. So really our mission is to try to figure out what their audience is looking for, what the business is actually trying to achieve from an objective standpoint, and then figure out where those intersect. So we start creating things that go beyond novelty, that actually do drive user value, but also helps with the bottom line for the organization.
And I understand you've just written a book.
We have. So Susan, my co-founder, and my wife, we co-authored a book called Voice Strategy. And really, it's taking the past 20 years of all of our experience in advertising and marketing, user experience, content strategy, and it's a way for us to help the community, not only the voice community, but the business community, understand what the opportunity of voice is, figure out where they can start to play, and then we also share our tools and our frameworks that we've actually created for our own clients. So it's a way to activate the business community and help them get started investing now. I don't want it to happen 3 years from now. I want it to happen now so we all benefit from it, you know, platforms and everyone. So that's really what our focus of the book is. And so for people that are interested in the book, you can go to voicestrategybook.com and you can actually buy it directly from us, or you can also find it on amazon.com.
Awesome. I know I'm going to pick up a copy, and I'm really looking forward to reading it.
Appreciate that.
So we're at Project Voice.
Yes.
What have you seen that's been exciting or interesting to you?
So for us, I'll speak for myself, but I think Susan shares this as well. It's the community. And, like, you know, we've known a lot of these folks for the past 2 years. Like, we met you at the first Voice Summit. And so it's like, you know, you're catching up with old friends. You're meeting new people that you're like, you look at them, you're like, hey, you kind of look like that profile photo. And we've had such great and incredible conversations with genuine people. And so what I love about the community and, you know, these conferences is it allows us to kind of share common frustrations and experiences and know that we're all not crazy for getting into this voice thing and that we're all having similar struggles and it's okay. And, you know, it's just, you know, part of the industry growing up. So, you know, that has been a huge thing. We've talked to Brian Romilly. We've talked to Terry Fisher. I mean, we've talked to a lot of folks. There's been a lot of great sessions. I think Kathy's session this morning was fantastic and certainly something that was sorely needed. You know, coming from the strategy and design side, I really do feel like we need a lot more representation of that voice, and who better to do it than Kathy Pearl. So, you know, there's just been an incredible amount of positive energy, and it's been really good to just kind of surround ourselves with our brethren.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. There's really a great voice community.
Absolutely.
It's one of the things that makes this such a pleasure
to
be doing. Not only this is so exciting, but the community is fabulous. And you're right. It's kind of a reunion. And then you meet people and I'm like, I knew you by your Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And now you're, you know, I'm meeting you face to face. And it's an amazing opportunity. And I love it. And that's really what I enjoy most about these conferences. So, Scott, you've done a lot of deep thinking about voice. You've been in industry for a while. Where would you like to see it go over the next, I'll say, 6 months, year, 5 years? You choose the time frame.
Yeah. Well, I predict that 2020 is the year that voice grows up. And so there's been a lot of experimentation, a lot of can we right now. And so I think this is the year where we start to look at what audiences truly need out of the experiences and start to provide business value. So this year and next year, I really will look for an influx of people from user experience, content strategy, folks that have actually helped craft the app world and also the web world, but really bringing that strategic guidance so we actually start creating meaningful experiences for our audiences. So I think, you know, this year will be the year that voice grows up. I think we're going to see a lot of mature experiences come out. And then I think next year is probably going to be when the business communities really start to invest in earnest. You know, everyone's predicting this year is the year of voice from a consumer adoption standpoint. We do see business lagging behind, you know, 12 to 18 months. So, you know, we're doing as much as we can with the book. We've also partnered with our friends at Vixen Labs to announce a online education course. And so we're actually targeting the business community, the marketing community, to help them understand what voice is, how they can use it for their business, and actually really get in things a lot faster.
That's great. You know, one of the things that I've been hearing is voice, the budget for voice is moving from the innovation group to the marketing group.
Yep.
And that's huge.
Yep.
That means it's no longer a game. It's now we're serious. We have a website, we have a mobile app, we have social, we need a voice too.
Yep.
It's in the same sentence. And that's really a reflection of the maturity of the industry and moving forward. And that's very bullish for all of us.
No, absolutely. And we see voice as part of a grander ecosystem. So you can't create a disjointed voice experience that doesn't work with social or email or any of the other things. So it's really imperative, especially for an enterprise, actually any organization size, but to have a cohesive content strategy. So you're saying the same things to the same people and you're moving them forward. So you're actually helping them solve their problems. And at some point, then they're going to actually start making purchases.
Well, thank you so much, Scott. And if people want to keep in contact with you or Susan or just Pragmatic Digital, what's the best way to keep in touch with you?
I would say Twitter and LinkedIn are probably the two places that it's easiest to find us. So Twitter, I'm at Scott Lastwater with one T. Susan is at SJW75. And then on LinkedIn, just our names. Just look for us and we're there. So.
All right. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Pleasure as always.
Thank you,
Roger. All right. Thanks. All right. I'm back and I'm with Kane Sims. Kane, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Roger. I'm Kane Sims. I'm the co-founder of VUX World, which started out as a podcast a few years ago, and then that's morphed into a kind of consultancy and a design studio as well. And I'm also just starting with Vixen Labs as a voice strategist, so my time is kind of being split between VUX World and building that up and helping Vixen and their clients with their voice strategy.
Tell me a little bit more about VUX World. Is it just you or...?
It's me and our co-founder, Dustin Coates. So he's a Google developer expert. He's an author. He's just published a book at the back end of last year, which is voice applications with Alexa and Google Assistant. Needs to get Samsung Bixby in there in version 2, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and yeah, so he's the voice search lead at Algolia, building their voice search capability. And yeah, so he's kind of the technical brains, and I'm more of the kind of like design strategy kind of brain.
Great, and congratulations on joining Vixen.
Thank
it's
you.
A great company.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good. They're doing some really, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, some really innovative stuff.
Yeah, I love the way they think about things, and I'm looking forward to it. So I don't actually start until next week, but looking forward to getting my sleeves rolled up and getting involved.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. So we're at Project Voice. Kane, what have you seen that's been interesting or exciting?
There's been a few things. I mean, I've actually not seen quite as many sessions as I would have liked to be honest. I think the thing I've enjoyed more than anything else has been putting actual real faces to the people who I've met and known for so long. People like yourself, people like, you know, Kathy Pearl and all the people who, the whole voice community, you know, that's the best thing that I've experienced has been people who I've had a relationship with, meeting them in person, you know, shaking their hands, having conversations. But I've, you know, some of the sessions that have been really interesting. I think that Brian Romilly, just today, he's always got something interesting to say.
Right.
I like the way that he thinks about things, and I think that you know, his kind of vision for the future is quite an interesting one. I enjoyed Nick Schwab's talk yesterday around how we kind of delved into a little bit. We've had him on the podcast and we kind of spoke about some of it, but it was nice to hear the kind of whole backstory about how he found voice and then what he started to experiment with and how he's found success. And I think that was really good. And then I'm a big fan of Wally Brill from Google, and really enjoyed seeing him and do his workshop on persona design. I've come across a lot of material, I've seen his videos and stuff, but actually being in the workshop and seeing the kind of artifacts that he creates and stuff was really good. And obviously the Bixby Day is tomorrow, so ask me this question again, and I'm sure there'll be some content.
We're going to say the best is yet to come. There's been some fantastic sessions and things. You know, when you said it's nice to meet people, it's kind of like, oh, your Twitter handle is not just an AI, but it points to, it's so great to meet people in person, and I love it. People who you're like, I know you, but I don't.
Yeah.
And then you see them in person and you get to really know things. So it's really fabulous. To me, a lot of what these conferences are all about is that, is making connections and meeting people in person.
Yeah.
So Kane, you've been involved with voice for quite a while. Where would you like to see it go over the next 6 months, year, 5 years? You choose the time frame, but where do you think the industry needs to go?
I think the industry needs to become a little bit more grounded. I think that at the moment, there's a lot of enthusiasm in the community, and I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of interesting stuff, but I still think that voice is being kind of really... it's still going through that hype, I think. It's really still being hyped. Mm-hmm. I think that ultimately when you distill it down, voice is essentially either interactive audio, as is predominantly on smart speakers if you use it for like entertainment purposes, or it's conversational language if you're using it to get stuff done or whatever. And if you carry on going down that kind of path, sometimes voice is more convenient, but sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes if you're on a train or a coach, you know, it's more convenient to get the phone out. So what I would like to see is voice not be this thing that stands over here on the left-hand side that's isolated from everything else, but to have a seat at the table with everything else, you know, with mobile, smart speakers, fair enough, but, you know, even within, like, IVR phone systems, any customer touch points that organisations have, there is an opportunity to either introduce voice or introduce conversational AI in general. It doesn't have to be necessarily voice. And so I'm looking forward to the industry maturing, where we can start kind of using the tools we've got and implementing stuff rather than talking about this dystopian, totally voice future. So I think that everything's converging and voice is just going to be part of everything else.
Couldn't agree with you more. You know, I like to say we'll be typing and swiping 20 years from now. Yeah. We'll probably be talking more to our technology,
100%.
But it's all complementary and it's kind of use the modality that makes sense at that time in that contextual use case. And what's easiest for you?
Yeah.
You know what gets me excited about voice is it really opens up probably the most natural way to interact with technology, but it's not always the best way to interact with our technology.
Yeah.
So we got to, you know, figure out the best way to do things.
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes, you know, voice might not be the most natural way. We've been building tools and using our hands to hunt and eat for longer than we could actually communicate with language.
Well put.
And so, you know, I do think that it's our actual voice in our human life is a tool the same way as our hands are. Our hands can communicate and get stuff done. Our voice can communicate and get stuff done. And I think that the industry needs to mature to the point where voice can do the kind of things that we need it to do.
Got it.
And maybe it's like everything that you use your hands for, you should really be able to do with your voice. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily mean that everything has to be always voice first all the time.
So well put. Well, Kane, if people want to keep in contact with you or VX World, what's the best way to do so?
You can go to vux.world. That's the website. You can find all the podcast episodes. You can find our blog. You can find our contact details on there. We're on all the social channels, as you would imagine. Any podcast player you use will be there. Once I've finished, which will be either today or tomorrow, you'll be able to ask Bixby to play the VUX World podcast because I'm very close to having a capsule sorted. And my email address is kane@vux.world. If anyone wants to reach out and either become on a podcast or wants to speak to us about anything, really.
Great. Thanks, Kane. And, you know, I will say that I think VUX World is a must-listen podcast. I am certainly a loyal listener, and I learn something every time. Thanks so much for being on there.
Appreciate it, Roger. Cheers.
Thanks a lot, Kane.
Cheers.
All right. I'm here with Carrie Roberts. Carrie, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello. I'm Carrie Roberts, and I work with Voice Summit. I host their podcast, Inside Voice. And I do a lot of their content marketing with them from the podcast standpoint.
And we are at Project Voice. Carrie, what's been new and exciting that you've learned or experienced here?
So I have been doing a lot of interviews, so I've got to have a lot of one-on-one time with people. I think what's exciting is that I'm learning so much more about voice can be done in so many different ways. There's so many different niches, and really remembering that even though we're trying to reach so many people, a voice experience is generally one-on-one, mm-hmm. and really understanding who is the user, how do they speak, what do they need, and really focusing on that as the focal point.
Yeah, I'm into that being very user-centric and really thinking about the experience that our users want to have. You know, I think we're moving into kind of past the voice being developer-focused to be really content-focused, and I think that's a huge advancement forward for the industry.
Yes, I agree. And I think, you know, going forward, we're going to see that a lot. I mean, I'm a brand and content person, so I'm always going to be a fan of that. But I think it's going to be so much about having content that people are excited about, that are learning from, that want to come back to, that's going to help them come back to a skill or a voice experience.
Yeah, and there's so much opportunity ahead of us
yes.
to get the real creatives, I'll say, involved in building these amazing experiences.
Yes, and I think, you know, when we had you on our show, I think what I loved about what you guys are doing is you're really focused on that third-party application, really promoting creatives, and there's so many creatives in this space. My background's dance. There are people who are in filmmaking and writing and photography, and you're seeing that across the board at all different levels, which is great.
Yeah, fabulous addition, and really what's going to propel the industry forward, in my opinion. So, Carrie, you've been doing this for a while. Where would you like to see voice go in, say, 6 months, a year, 5 years? You choose the time frame.
I mean, at any point, closer obviously is always better. I would love to see voice be something where I can connect with humans faster mm-hmm. so that I can ask the technology. I was giving the example earlier, you know, where are there comedy events in this area that I can go to? And it will tell me, I can sign up and I can just go. Instead of looking a lot on Facebook like I do now or searching, being able to have access to the people and things that I want to do faster would be great.
Yeah, that's great. Have the technology get out of the way.
Yes.
Give you the information and get the heck
yes,
out of the
exactly.
way and let you
be a human again.
Be a human again, right? Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, thank you so much, Carrie. It was a pleasure talking to you. Where, if listeners want to keep in contact with you, where, how should they do so?
Yeah, so the best would be on LinkedIn. You can find my name, Carrie, K-E-R-I, and Roberts is the last name.
Thanks so much, Carrie.
Thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank
All
you.
All right, thanks.
So that's 8 interviews from the floor of the Project Voice Conference. I hope you enjoyed them. Stay tuned for tomorrow's podcast. We'll release the final 9 interviews with Tom Hewitson, John Stein, Stephen Arkonovich, Rafiki Kai, Amy Stapleton, Kevin Yu and Ryan Lipkin of SideChef, Gal Shinar, Ian Utili, and Terry Fisher. Talk to you soon.